This is the Puppy Training Podcast, episode 104, Bringing Home Two Puppies. This podcast is designed to help you on your journey of becoming best friends through love and learning as you train your own dog from home. And I'm here to help you every step of the way. This is the Puppy Training Podcast, and I'm your host, Amy Jensen. Hey, you guys. Thank you so much for listening. That means a lot to hear from so many of you on how this podcast is helping you and your puppy in training. And in whatever work you do, it's always nice, right? To know that the effort you put in is making a difference for someone. And I know many of you experience that same feeling in whatever you're doing in the world. I love that we can help each other and learn from one another. And technology is pretty cool to connect us from around the world. It's awesome. Today's topic is all about bringing home two puppies or training two puppies at the same time. I've done a podcast in the past on helping multiple dogs in your household get along. And today I want to add in a few additional tips if you find yourself in the situation of bringing home two. So this will be a mix of review plus a few bonus tips. I want to discuss the initial meeting, setting up your home for two puppies, and how to train two dogs at the same time. First, let's give a shout out to April for today's podcast topic. Thank you for sending it in. It's my understanding that she's bringing home two puppies and would like some tips. So thanks for your suggestions and feel free to send me any of your ideas that you guys have as far as what you'd like to hear on the podcast in the future. So first things first, make sure you can handle two puppies before committing. I like to throw this out at the beginning and just to make sure that we're all on the same page. And we're just aware, right? So two dogs means double the food, which means double the poop, which means double picking up the poop. You get it, right? Double the bathing, double the grooming, double the training time, double the crate training, double the leash training, all of those things, right? You're going to be doing it for two dogs, not just one. Now, as much work as this sounds like, which it is a lot, you'll definitely benefit from double the fun, double the love, and your one puppy will have a playmate who likes to play like a dog, which is a huge bonus. So just be sure that you recognize the double workload and then make sure you're okay with that before you commit. Please, please, please. We want to make sure that these puppies are in nice, responsible homes and that they are planning on keeping those dogs for life. So if you are getting litter mates, there's not a need to worry about introductions. They already know each other. But oftentimes I hear clients are getting a puppy from this litter and then another dog from that litter, or maybe they're rescuing dogs from shelters and there's two of them coming home. Maybe they don't have a lot of experience being together. When I'm first introducing two dogs that have never met before or don't have a lot of experience being together, I prefer to use some sort of barrier. Now, this might be a baby gate, it might be an exercise pen, but something to allow both dogs to approach the barrier from opposite sides, and it allows me to observe their body language. When they get to the barrier, they can sniff one another for about 3 to 5 seconds, and then you can use a food lure to redirect the dogs away from one another, and I'll repeat that 2 to 3 times. So they come together, they sniff, I lure them away, give them a little break. I let them come together and sniff, lure them away, give them a little break. And all of the while I'm watching their bodies. Okay. Now when you're turning and redirecting your puppy away, food works well. You can also use a favorite toy, whatever your puppy loves. So maybe a squeaky toy or just a piece of food, show them what you have and get them excited to follow you away from the barrier. And then you're going to do that several times. And the point of this is that you're able in the scenario to watch both puppies, both dogs, and you can observe what they're doing. You can see and watch for nice loose bodies, neutral positions, right? Watching where their tails are and how they're holding their ears. And we're looking for natural body positions. So if they naturally hold their tail in a little curl, then we want it to be in that natural position. If they're, we're watching for things like, are they tucking their tail? Is their tail super high and stiff, like more than normal? So you kind of want to know what they look like naturally, and then you can use that as a comparison when they are greeting one another. But anything that is stiff or tense, staring, freezing, those kinds of behaviors, I would just let them get to know each other a little more through the barrier before we let them be together. So I'd practice a few more of these meet and greets at the barrier, sniff to say hi, and then walk away. and let them, you know, calm down and then come back together. Now, you'll start to see that they warm up to each other, and that might take a little bit of time. It may take a lot of time. I don't know. But that would be something that I would work on. And you're welcome to reach out to me and my trainers in our program. We're happy to video coach you through that if you need some help. So as long as the dogs, as they're doing these little episodes of sniffing and walking away, and they're happy and their body language is nice and loose, I like to think of it like a spaghetti noodle. They're just kind of happy, bouncy, loose, and relaxed. Then it's probably safe to have a supervised play session where they can actually interact without the barrier. With young puppies, this process from barrier to playing together happens pretty quickly. Most often. If you are bringing home older dogs, then it might take some time. So be patient. Now, once your dogs are together and they're able to play, I suggest that you supervise the playtime for sure, especially if you have a brand new puppy that's come into your home, which is what my program specializes in. So we're happy to help you in any way that we can. Now, when these new puppies come in, they have a lot of energy and they have razor sharp teeth. It's common for maybe one puppy to possibly overwhelm the other puppy. Some puppies will keep going at the quieter puppy, maybe biting their ears and tail and saying, hey, play with me, play with me. And depending on your puppy's personality, they'll let the other puppy know, hey, this isn't fun for me, or they may just kind of take it, or you may see that other puppy try to retreat or escape. So it is important to supervise and step in as needed for either puppy, especially in those beginning few moments, days, weeks, as you start to see how they interact with one another. Now, if you notice that one puppy is overwhelmed by the second puppy, maybe the second puppy is showing signs of trying to escape or tucking the tail or getting down lower or cowering or something. There's different signs that you would watch for, but if you can tell that, okay, say one puppy's not enjoying what's going on, go ahead and step in and separate them, okay? Now put the first puppy in an exercise pen with something to chew or a toy to play with, and then your other puppy can have some space and some breaks. We want both dogs to feel safe around one another, so play needs to be monitored. And then you'll notice at other times of the day, they might get along really well, and maybe puppy two does want to play or engage with puppy one. Then we keep the play sessions short. We watch for switching, meaning one dog chases the other and then they switch. I like to call it flip-flopping. They flip-flop play. One puppy's on the ground and then the other puppy's on the ground. Really, they're taking turns. That is healthy dog play. So that's what you're looking for is, are these puppies able to take turns with one another? How much do I need to help them take turns? Or are they pretty good at doing that on their own? So on that note, let's talk a little bit about your home setup when it comes to bringing two dogs home. You can see from the introduction that having separate spaces will be very helpful. A playpen is awesome. Two are even better, in my opinion. You'll also want separate crates for each puppy. Please give them their own spaces for times that you cannot supervise them. Another important thing to consider could be mealtimes. And when you're giving your dogs chews or bones or toys that they absolutely adore, we can prevent guarding simply by feeding both dogs in separate areas. So when it's mealtime, they can be in their pens or their crates and we're feeding them. And then once the mealtime's over, we pick up the food bowls and they can be out and together again. So if your dog has a favorite chew item, okay, a favorite toy or a bone or something, and then suddenly the other dog appears and they feel like they need to protect that from the second dog, we don't want that to escalate and we don't want that to be a common feeling that they feel, right? It's natural that a dog would feel that guarding tendency. It's an inherent trait in a dog, but we can prevent a lot of that just by structuring our home and setting it up in a way that, okay, puppy, when you're chewing your favorite item, you go over here and this puppy can go over and chew their favorite item over here. And then they don't have those kinds of conflicts. So separate your dogs when they're eating their meals. When mealtime is over, we pick up both food dishes, we put them away for the day. So there's not any kind of need to guard those bowls. And with the chews, we do the same thing. So we give them their chews in their crates or pens, and then we put them away when the crates or pens are open. And we can help a lot with just management in that regard. It's important to give your dogs alone time during the day. Sometimes with two puppies, we forget this. But the separate pens or crates are useful. So we want them to be able to be alone if needed. And sometimes it is, like I said, tempting to just, oh, they'll always be together. So we'll just let them always be together. But I really highly encourage you to teach each dog to be an individual, to be independent and capable of calming themselves. Now you'll do this, the same thing with this initial crate training games and exercises that we teach you in our online puppy school with two puppies. You're just going to do it twice. So it is a little bit of double the effort and time. But we are happy to help you help these puppies love their crates. So next, let's talk about training. For example purposes, let's say that you want to teach your puppy mat work, which means in our program, we say they go to bed or they go to a station. They're going to a place where they lay down and relax, and they're to remain there until released. You are going to train this the same way you would with one puppy, but I recommend doing so one at a time. So with two puppies, I would put one in their crate with a chew or a toy while I work with the other puppy on this new behavior of going to their bed on cue. Once I've taught it to the first dog, I rotate them. So the first dog goes in a crate with a chew and the second puppy comes out to learn the new behavior. Doing this, you can rotate every 4 to 5 minutes between puppies to give them good practice with mat work. And at the same time, you're giving them good practice at being alone and self-soothing in their crate. So this is a behavior that we proof, meaning eventually we add the 4 D's of distance, duration, distraction, and difficulty. When you get to the distraction level of training for this behavior, you can bring both puppies out together to train side by side. You have a natural built-in distraction of one another. Doing this will set your puppies up for success rather than constantly trying to get the two to cooperate from the beginning when they don't yet have basic skills with this behavior. We start one-on-one, then we work up to 2x2. I stick to this pattern for all new things I teach my dogs. Crates are very useful in the training process. And again, notice how you are also incorporating that good alone time while you're training. You'll find that even though you have two dogs and the workload is often doubled, some things you are actually accomplishing simultaneously. Leash walking is another example I would highly recommend doing one-on-one. This may take a while to work up to the point where you can walk both dogs at once. For now, when they are young, exercise is accomplished through playing together. They don't need to go on a leash walk right away. Think of leash walking as training and do so slowly, one-on-one, giving each puppy the individual skills they need to be successful at walking down a sidewalk before we attempt to do it together. So I know it's super tempting to put both dogs on a leash and go for it, but I promise you will save a lot of frustration by practicing separately first. All right, you guys, that's it for today. If you know someone getting a dog soon, will you do me a favor and share our podcast with them? I really appreciate your help in spreading the word. Our goal here at Baxter and Bella is to help as many puppy families as possible start their training journey off on the right paw, and you could definitely help us get there. Also, if you haven't already, check out the online puppy school at baxterandbella.com. You can get access to our members-only area and get all of the resources you need to train your puppy like a professional right at your fingertips. We even have an app if you prefer an app. I show you exactly what I do with the puppies I train professionally, and I walk you through the process step by step. I would love to help you with your new puppy, or in today's case, puppies. Just make sure you're ready for double the workload, okay? Have an amazing week and happy training. If you have a question about anything you heard on this podcast or any other puppy training question, visit my site, baxterandbella.com, to contact me.